Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and it's horse o'clock somewhere. Let's get a beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading our Patreon selected book of the month, The Red Pony by John Steinbeck. And someone starting with a beer?
I'm starting with a beer, yeah. So the main theme of this book, I think, was questionable horse medicine. So my
Did you
beer
find a beer
is called
that?
My beer is called X-Ray Reimaged by Hypothecary Ales. I almost couldn't say it. I haven't even started drinking it.
Hip-hop apothecary.
Hip-hopopotamus.
You give him the easy ones.
No, and it is a double New England IPA. Yeah, and it's nice.
So, the Red Pony, which is, I think, a Deftones album, and it is it's published in 1937 of several other short stories that he had written before. I'm not really sure if he had planned them to all go together or this was just a packaging thing, but they all follow in the four chapters because apparently some editions have a fifth story. I didn't read it. I don't care. They follow.
I don't know about that.
A little bit of time in the life of Jody Tiflin, the Tiflon Don, who is a, I don't know, 10-ish-year-old boy in, you know, rural farmland Southern California in the, it might as well be the 1840s, but it's the early 1900s, I presume. And he lives on the farm with his dad, Carl, and his mom, whose name is Mom, I think, and their hired hand, Billy Buck. And in chapter one, you know, the kid is just going around being a podunk farm boy. And the dad's like, I got something for you. I need to show you in the barn. He's like, no, daddy, no. He's like, no, this is a good time. And it's
good this time, I swear.
This is what you earned from those other times. And it's a horse, of course. And he's like, here's go, son, it's a horse. It's the titular Red Pony. And the kid is like, God damn it, I am a man now. I have a horse. I'm going to be so responsible and take care of this horse. It's definitely not going to die right away from horse AIDS. And so he was like, brushes its mane all the time. And just like, it's a girl horse, right? I don't know if it mattered.
I think it's a boy.
I don't know if they ever said, actually.
In a colt? Colts are boys, right?
Oh, yeah, a filly is a girl, right? So it's a boy, so he's like brushing it and just like jerking off its big dong and, you know, just making rope out of its hairs, which is not creepy
at
all.
He wants to make rope out of his hair, but he never gets to.
And he names it something dumb. He's like, I'm going to name this horse like Gabba Llama Ding Dong or something like that. And then the helper guy's like, how about just Gabalon? That means
Hawk.
Falcon. He's like, that's not even a horse, but okay.
It's named after the mountains that are right there, the Gabalon Mountains.
Yep. And so then he's getting the horse and he's like going to, you know, train it. And soon he's going to get to ride the goddamn thing. And then one day he's like, just leave that horse outside and go do an errand.
I forgot what the other one was. And Billy Buck, the
horse
whisperer. Guy who, yeah, the horse whisperer who is actually a fucking idiot, is like, I hope it doesn't rain. It would be really bad if it rained before Thanksgiving.
Billy Buck says it won't rain. He like holds up a finger to the wind and he's like, no, definitely not going to rain. And so they leave
but
the horse outside.
Does.
And then it does. And later on, he's like, I can't fucking know everything.
You know, and everyone's like, it wasn't Billy's fault. Definitely not. So the horse immediately gets sick because it was out in the rain.
His horse is hard to be.
Do horses often die of rain?
That's what is my question. My understanding is horses are animals. And animals usually live outside.
They are not minerals or vegetables.
No, they usually live outside. And I'm pretty sure when horses get rained on, they don't give a shit because they're animals. Because they're, you know, even though they're not wild, wild animals, they're still almost wild animals. So they don't give a shit when it rains.
I looked up what, because the pony gets sick, of course, and it gets all fucked up and gross looking. And they said, oh, it's got strangles. Like, I looked it up because like, I have no idea about horse illness because I'm a regular person.
You don't know about strangles? It's one of the songs on the first Bumblefoot album, Jimmy.
But the horse strangles is apparently horse strep, but you get it from other sick horses, not from the rain. So
So what it felt like, this was John Steinbeck going like, well, because people think that people get cold from being cold or being out in the rain, that John Steinbeck is like, well, I guess horses just do that too. Even though that is not where the cold comes from, it's a virus.
It's a miasma.
It's an infection. And you get it from other people. And so you would think, same thing with horses, that horses actually have to get it from other horses. And unless the colt was coming in contact with a bunch of other horses, there's nothing to worry about.
There's a few other horses around, but he's the only sick one.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to overthink it, except that it's the horse mom clearly took Tylenol when it was pregnant, so it's all like fucked up. That's really the problem.
I thought that, what the fuck is his name? Jody. I can't remember if it was Jody or Cody.
Jody
got strep, and he was making out with the horse, and the horse got strep from that.
But it's weird. You don't get strep from having your butthole licked out. That's what he was totally doing.
You might, so I hear.
You get a lot of things from that, actually.
What is your butthole but your butt's neck?
Is that a Zen Cohen? I think that is a... Yeah. What is the sound of one cheek clapping?
We are just one long hole with a meat tube around it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There is no God. We are just one meat tube.
A meat straw, really.
So anyway, the horse gets sick, and the horse is the kind of illness that only a weak woman could get in the 1800s. This horse is just fucking dying. And they keep going to Billy Buck, and he's like, don't worry, I have horse medicine. It's a knife that I heated over a light, a lamp.
That's basically my tool. Cut the sickness out of him.
And at one point, he like, you know what'll help this horse? Sniffing glue. He like mixes up a bag of polyurethane.
Like, I was going, I wanted to find, shit. I thought I highlighted that, but apparently didn't. I wanted to highlight the exact thing they put in the bag.
Because like it was oats and paint or something, right?
Yeah, okay.
Horse is tripping balls.
It probably killed the horse. The steaming bag, that's what they're calling this horse treatment for the horse, for the sick horse. They're giving it a steaming bag. It was a long canvas nose bag with straps over its horse's ears. Billy filled it 1/3 full with bran and then added a couple of handfuls of dried hops. Is that the beer hops?
Guess so.
That's so weird. On top of the dried substance, he poured a little carbolic acid and a little turpentine. I'll be mixing it all up while you run to the house for a kettle for some boiling water. Like, holy shit, this is what kills the horse. I mean, that cannot be good for you.
If you wiki the strangles, they have pictures of a little horse that has it, and it's kind of cute, but you know that horse is fucked. Apparently, it's got an 8% mortality rate, and it's more susceptible for, like any disease, old horses and baby horses. But his like eyes are swollen shut, and his face is all fucked up, like he got stung by an army of bees. So yeah, it basically just swells their face shut and they die.
Well, I think it's the point of this fucking wizard's concoction he makes is to just overwhelm its nasal passage. So it's like, oh, what the fuck? Jesus. And it could breathe again. And the bran just makes the horse shit out the poison.
Yeah, that's science. What year did this book come out?
Super colon 30, blow 37. For horses. Okay.
1937.
This is definitely pre-antibiotics, right?
Yeah.
They may have just been, they were almost about to be invented, but they wouldn't give them to horses.
Yeah, so it was 8% mortality rate now. So pre-horse antibiotics, this probably just killed horses all the time.
Also, this must be the one horse illness that's not just treated by shooting it.
I mean, it might have been anyway. He just tried not to because it was the kid's new horse.
Yeah. So the steaming bag doesn't work. And so next they try a tracheotomy.
I was thinking horse tracheotomy is a great war song.
He literally uses Billy Bush or whatever his name is. He uses
grabs
his
him by
knife
the pussy.
And Bush cuts into his neck, into the horse's neck, into the horse's windpipe to make an air passage. Then they put a little like ring in it to hold it open.
Can you imagine Mr. Ed talking through one of those tracheotomy things?
Like, do you have any more peanut butter?
Who left the barn door open? What they don't show is that later Billy Buck is absolutely fucking that hole.
I don't
he sleeps
think the
in the barn. He's always in the barn.
I don't think the text supports that.
The horse dies, okay? And you know what? Getting fucked in the throat is lethal.
Because the horse dies and a buzzard is eating it, and Jody's like, I'm going
to
beat the shit
out of
it.
So they're trying to save the horse.
It's so sad.
Okay, this was a dramatic scene. That they're trying to save the horse. And
every chapter is a dramatic scene.
Jody, it is true. Jody, you're going to have to sleep out here with the horse all night because I'm tired. I've been at this all day trying to save this goddamn horse.
It's terrible.
Yes. So Billy does, and he falls asleep. He wakes up. It's daytime because he wakes up.
That's how sleeping works, usually.
Yes.
What? You're supposed to wake up?
The barn doors are open, and there's like horse tracks. There's like, oh, shit, the horse is out. And then he's like running, he's following the tracks, and he sees over the hill buzzards. And he's like, oh, fuck. And so he runs and runs, and then he finds, and then he sees the horse is lying on the ground, and the buzzards are about to attack it. And just as the first buzzard is about to attack what is definitely already a dead horse, Jody just like grabs the buzzard and murders it.
The buzzard is eating the horse's eye.
He sees them waiting for the horse to die. Then the horse dies in the intervening 2 minutes. And then in what is definitely not a euphemism for young boyhood, he beats the shit out of that bird. He's just whacking that buzzard. Yeah. And he beats a bird to death.
Buzzards are big.
I was picturing like something the size of a turkey, but with bigger wings.
It's big enough that I would watch a 10-year-old boy fight one.
I think in some parts of Southeast Asia you can do that. You can pay for that. I'm trying to find out how big a buzzard is. There are so many types of fucking buzzard. Jesus Christ!
Can you Google how big is a buzzard compared to a 10-year-old boy?
That's what AI is for.
So that's the end of chapter one. You're like, why is this book called that if there's no more pony?
It's because there's a second pony.
The pony was red, much like communism, and it didn't work because real pony has never been tried.
Yes. The pony did keep saying, oh, I can't breathe. We should seize the means of production.
Yes, Billy Buck is obviously the lumpen proletariat. So he beats a bird.
Actually, the horse was way lumpier because of the strangles.
Oh, that's true. So then we get to chapter two, and you notice something has happened to Jody, because one of the things he does right, do you know what he does? Like he's like looking at the mountains. He's like, Dad, what's in those mountains over there? And he's like, fucking rocks and shit. I don't know. Anybody live there? Nope. That's not foreshadowing. And then do you know what he does with a fucking bird? He like kills and dismembers a bird for fun. Like he's quickly becomes a young Dahmer. Like this package, he kills a bird with like a rock or something like that. He shoots it with a slingshot.
Yeah.
He says, the bird looked much smaller dead than it had alive. Jody felt a little mean pain in his stomach. So he took out his pocket knife and cut off the bird's head. Then he disemboweled it and took off its wings. And finally, he threw all the pieces into the brush. He didn't care about the bird or its life, but he knew what older people would say if they had seen him kill it. He was ashamed because of their potential opinion. He decided to forget the whole thing as quickly as he could and never to mention it. He's become a sociopath, like, instantly.
Yeah.
That's like one of those things, like that in bedwetting, playing with fire.
They didn't say he doesn't wet the bed.
That's just a throwaway line.
But he's a fucked up kid now. So they're just hanging out at the farm when suddenly an old Mexican man walks down out of the mountains and he's like, hey, I was born here. And I'm going to die here. And they're like, we don't know you. He's like, I'm just here to die. And they're like, please don't do that. That's weird. And he's like, I'm here to die. Sorry.
Nate, remember when Jimmy said he was going to do the whole thing in the accent? I feel like he's not living up to that now.
Yeah, he
did like a really good, it was like Cheech Marin was in the room with us.
Hey, I'm going to die.
Oh, he's Italian now. He's an Italian-Mexican.
His name is Gaetano. Is that a
and
Spanish
they were referred to as paisanos.
Yeah.
And it's like, isn't that a word for Italian people?
Maybe he was Italian this whole time. They just assumed he was Mexican because they're
racist.
Am
I imagining that?
Gaetano, the Italian, is spelt differently. It's G-A-E, Tano.
No, I mean calling the Native Americans paisanos.
I think one of the nice things, Nate, about racism is you don't have to be accurate.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just look at all of it.
You know, racism uses all parts of the stereotype.
Just like the paisanos did with Buffalo. So then this guy's like, I'm going to die here on the farm. And the dad is trying to do one of those like rural polite things like, but we don't have room for that. Like you can't die here.
We don't have enough food to support another person. He's like, that's why I'm here.
And he's like, I used to live here. He's like, no, you fucking didn't. I built this house. Like, no, I used to live like right here, you know, right over there. And they're like, the melted house? You lived in the melted house?
There was no people here before us. This is America.
I mean, this guy is not like the spirit of the Amerindians. He's just like a generation older than the father. I lived up there in like a sod house that got melted from rain. And they're like, oh, that's weird. All right, you could sleep in the donkey shack, I guess.
And then you can leave before you die, because I don't want that.
But he also has a sword.
But it's a secret sword.
A pretty
sword.
Sweet sword.
Yeah.
And he has it out for a second, and Jody's like, wow, well, cool. Well, and then later, Jody wants to steal it, but it's not there.
It's like a fucking cavalry sword. And
it's very ornate.
And he's like, this is my father's. And Jody's like, where did he get it? He's like, I don't know, man. Shut up, kid. I'm trying to die.
I'm trying to be mysterious.
You know what? I respect that part of it. Like, that is a good way to go out. Just, like, plant a whole bunch of mysterious seeds.
You show up at some guy's house and say, I'm going to die in your backyard now. And they're like, I don't. It's like, I've got a sword.
I must. This was preordained. Because I lived in the melted house.
And so in the morning, they wake up and the Mexican guy is gone. And so is their old horse. And they were like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to shoot that other old horse. And he's like, I don't really want to do that. It's like, well, he's got to die. And then they're gone.
Well, there is a scene before where they see the old horse. And the Mexican guy's like, that horse looks pretty decent. Stone's like, no, that horse is old and shitty. And it just needs to die. And he's like, oh, I get that. And they're like, I think I understand what's happening in this scene.
The man they become one. They become a centaur.
Dude, hold on. There's a line about that in this book. There's a line later about centaurs. I'll get to it. But then the next day, they're like, where the fuck did the Mexican guy go? And he's gone. And Stephen Miller's like, good. That's what I wanted. But he's gone. And Jody's like, let me go get that guy's sword. I bet he left it there. He didn't, of course. And then one of the neighbors rushes over. He's like, I just saw a fucking Mexican take your horse, dude. He's like, what's next, our jobs? And then he's like, no, we must. He's like, you know what? Save me the trouble of burying that other horse. And he's like, I think he had a gun. But we know it was the sword. And where is he going? But into the wild to die. And this beer is called Into the Wild. And it's from Van Patrick Ewing. And it is, it's just Van Ewing. But
it's good that he's doing something new.
It'd be great if it was Van Patrick Ewing. It's just the sweatiest beer. But the beer, it's great. Not made with Patrick Ewing's sweat, thankfully.
Speaking of Patrick Ewing, we have a Patreon.
Where are you going with that?
He's a patron.
He's a patron of basketball because he supported it, and other people support us instead of basketball or both. I don't know their lives, but they chose this book. The theme was short books for the shortest month, so they picked this one, and yeah, it's been on our list for a long time, and now we had to read it, and it was the time to read it, and it's our time to thank them for the things they have done to us. And we will use their legal names in thanking them.
Okay, so I'd like to thank Kafka-esque bunny, alehouse Aggie, Elizabeth, disgruntled Gruntle, Ev, Hartley, you guys help me get it up for my wife.
Maybe they thought it was my turn.
Maybe.
I'd like to thank... no means no, even if they wag their tails.
Oh. Can I just say, this is one of our newest patrons. And I was like, hey, if you have a name, you know, let us know. And she was like, oh, no, I'm not creative at all. And I was like, really? You don't want to say something about Nate fucking a dog? And then she had like 8 ideas instantly. And we workshopped it. Oh. And she was like, I don't know.
Maybe I'll just go for something really
like
there
was
up.
Several uses of the like shrug emoji, like I don't know, should I do it? And then she's like, no means no, even if they're regular. I was like, well done, chef's kiss. She's like, I'm not much of a comedian. She was, there was a, like a humble faint,
quite humble. I'd like to thank Ween, Meep, Rack the Jipper, the Black Rabbit of Inle, Avery, Linda, Raisin Detra to death by Dogfish Head Drafts. I assume Raisin Detra is a Dogfish Head beer.
It's one of their famous ones from back in the day. Yeah. Okay, well, they don't really distribute it anymore, but it was a great beer.
It means to be a raisin.
It means the...
from the German.
Purpose of life is to be a raisin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's made with raisins, actually. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Thick Richard, I'd like to thank Thick Richard III, William, Carol. The only reason Mike doesn't support ICE is because like most things, without a reinforced foundation, ICE can't support him.
Hold on, I gotta think about it. Wait, is this like ICE, the state of matter of?
Yes,
I think okay. He's making a comparison. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And right. I definitely like to thank this person who definitely their real name is, if being fat and obnoxious was an Olympic sport, then Mike would be furious. The gold medal isn't made of chocolate.
Very nice. I will have you know, I made a joke about my high school reunion with a coworker, and I said, you know, I made the standard joke, you know, you go to see who got bald and fat. And then the guy was like, he's an older work coworker, and he's like, oh, please, you don't have to tell me about getting fat. And I was like, well, me neither. And he said, no, you're not fat. I mean, you have fat. And I was like, thanks, I'm aware. He said, but you just have mass. And I was like, I don't know if that's better or worse.
You just thanks, are.
Thanks so much.
I'd like to thank, I'm a proud member of Weenie Dog Hut General. Catherine, Colton, to me, end-to-end encryption means no one hears the screaming in the middle. Stephen,
oh, no.
Patty, mm-hmm. O Furniture, and Emotional Support Burrito.
Thank you, good doctor.
So thanks, guys.
Thanks.
If
you want to join that esteemed group of people who insult us, go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub is the only way besides just you know finding us, which apparently I could be found because I have so much fat, I have gravitational pull. You will get pulled nearer to us. You get sent us beers, of course. That has happened. That's so cool. But that's the best way to support us. Or leave us a review wherever you're listening. Give it 5 stars. Or tell someone to listen to it. Hopefully before they die of strangles. Now back to the book. So the Mexican guy dies, and he steals their horse.
He wanders away to die.
He commits one last property crime, and then he leaves. way to buck the trends. Buck the stereotype, Pablo. So he goes. I'm trying to highlight, I don't remember what chapter this was.
The next chapter is Horse Part 2.
Okay.
Lady Horse.
More questionable horse doctoring.
So this chapter, I forgot what it's called. Was this The Promise?
The Promise, that 80s song.
That song is fucking, that song is a jam. Who does that? Is that like Go West? I forget who does that song.
When in Rome.
Right, okay. Go on. Do what?
Don't look to a stranger.
So this time, it's been like 5 minutes. The boy has killed, he's also gathering, isn't he gathering things in his lunch bucket to torture to death in this chapter?
Yes. He finds a toad and like captures it alive and puts it in his lunch bucket along with like crickets or like other things.
At this time, you know, in like the 30s, rural kids, like torturing animals death is just called, you know, learning how to, you know, clean game. So it's probably like, oh yeah, he's becoming a man and he's learning how to butcher a frog. But today it has a different context. Yeah.
Like that book about murdering raccoons we read.
Yeah, Jesus, that was weird.
It's around the same time.
Oh, what the fuck was that?
And that was a celebrated children's. And that was a celebrated children's book about murdering raccoons.
He must die by my hand. I remember that joke. So he's gathering around animals to kill, and then the dad is like, "Listen, son, I know you're getting, I know you're a little fucked up because your horse died, and now you're killing creatures. So I'm going to help you get less fucked up. Do you want to watch horses have sex? Do you want to go watch horse porn?
Let the boy watch.
In real life, Papa? He's like, yeah, you get to watch. You could even guide it in if you ask nice.
You know, you know Billy's last name, Mr. Hands?
So he's like, here, son, you're going to be a horse John today. Here's $5. Go get this horse fucked.
You gotta get another horse drunk.
And he like
gotta get him dinner and a movie first.
He pins $5 to the kid. He's like, don't spend it all in one place unless that one place is horse pussy. And
at the horse fuckery.
So he goes to the stud farm with their horse, whose name is Nelly, and he's like, all right, let's go, let's get this horse drilled.
And this is where Billy tells him that he was raised on horse milk. That's why he's so good with horses.
You can't prove it's not why he's good at it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's Mongolian.
It's true. You could drink that horse milk. You can drink horse milk. It's just a weird thing to be like, we're not good at controlling cows because of our American diet.
But aren't we? Like, we fucking rule those things. But yeah, it's Billy Kubla Buck. Is the Mongolian farmhand. I didn't know Billy was short for Genghis. And he's like, what was it like to watch, boy? And the when he brings him over there, the buck, the stud, what the fuck was the horse's name? I'm going to say Mr. Hands. I don't remember what it was.
But the other horse's
name, horse just comes charging with 27 inches of hard rock, hard steel. And he's like, no, my horse. He's like, what did you? Everyone's like, you should go inside. You don't want to see. You don't need to see what happens. Go inside and eat some pie or something. And he's like, no, I need to see. Pa says, I'll never be a man if I don't watch. So he watches his first horse porn. And who doesn't remember their first horse porn?
Hopefully a lot of people, actually. The first implies that they kept doing it.
Well, because you watch it once and then you show it to someone else. It's like The Ring. Like, you got to get someone else to watch that when you're in middle school. And then he goes home. He's like, so when does the horse baby come out of its horse jainer? And Billy Buck is like, that's going to take like
forever.
A while. I know everything about horses, but I have no idea what their gestation period is.
I just looked it up. It's 11 months. It could be up to a year.
That's how long I was in the womb. They left me in there for a full year to make sure I finished eating that twin. But my wife does judge that I was born 2 weeks after my mom's due date, which apparently was totally acceptable in the 80s. And nowadays, they're like, you're due Wednesday? If it's not out by Thursday afternoon, we're just lobbing it out right now. But I was in there, just eating all her food. So this horse is in there, and the kid's like, is the baby in there? Is there a horse in there? And Billy Buck's like, holy fuck, kid. I have work to do. I make a nickel a year. Leave me alone.
Now that I've Googled how long is horse pregnancy, one of the related questions popped up was, do horses know they are pregnant? And you had to figure, like, probably. But the AI says, no, they don't because they're stupid horses. they notice their hormonal shifts, but they're guided by instinct rather than rational thought. They don't know the concept of pregnancy. Like, what? How the fuck do you know? Of course a horse knows it's fucking pregnant.
It's like, man, I have to take a huge shit. Like, what is the horse thinking?
Oh, here you go. And at the bottom it says, so while your horse isn't sitting there thinking, I'm pregnant, her body and instincts tell her something significant is happening. It's like, oh my God, I'm glad we burned down a forest to like fucking power that answer. I didn't even ask that one. Jesus. They should just wipe us out.
Could you ask about other animals? Do chickens know when they're pregnant? Like,
a frilled shark takes 3.5 years. It's the longest pregnancy. A
frilled shark. Wow.
Is that the kind that lives to be like...
No, that's a Greenland shark. The ones that
that live to be like 500 years old.
Yeah.
Potentially longer. Just like nobody...
They haven't seen one die. They just like, it's just an old shark.
There's just like 9 of them that swam next to the Ark.
So, okay, the horse is pregnant, and Billy is like, it could happen anytime between 10 months and a year and 10 months or something like that. He really does not know how
he's
long
not
it takes.
Inaccurate.
No. And then eventually, one paragraph goes by, and suddenly it's been 10 months.
It's horse o'clock, baby.
It's horse o'clock somewhere.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before he does it, he fantasizes about what the horse is going to be. And this is a really important line that I can't believe no one else noticed. And he wants to have he's like, what color is the horse going to be? And this guy gives a fucking like Bubba Gump answer. And he's like, well, it could be black or white, could be brown or gray or brindle or dappled.
Black and white.
Or off-white, or egg-shelly, like, names every color in the world. He's like, one of those. And the kid's like, I want to have a black stallion. I'm going to name it Demon. That's not a little bit racist or weird. And he says that he has this thought when he's fantasizing about riding his horse, Demon. Jody was not a boy anymore, and Demon was not a horse. The two together were one glorious individual. That's a centaur.
That's a centaur. Yeah.
Fantasizes about becoming like the Borg. Like we are horse.
He Imagine how many centaur. Frogs I could butcher as a centaur.
I just stomp the shit out of those toads. He has a centaur fantasy. That is a direct quote. I did not change a syllable.
Yeah, he wants to be a centaur. I believe it,
man. This kid, so he has no brothers or sisters and no friends. I mean, it does talk about him going to school like one time in the first chapter, I think. But like, clearly there's no one else. He is just so fucking bored. He only has his mother, father, and Billy the kid.
Sometimes a horse.
And sometimes a horse, but not for long. And it must have been so boring. Yeah, and he was going crazy.
But that was probably the standard for all of the kids because they all live on these farms that are barely
many had siblings or at least had a wider community with more kids around, even if they're on neighboring farms. This seems particularly isolated.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
I'm sure it wasn't that uncommon either.
Actually, he goes to school, but like that's not a part of these stories because these are like four slightly connected chapters in Jody's life of learning that everything sucks all the time and you will die.
Especially if you're a horse.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the original title of the book was Dr. Strange Horse, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Horses and Learn to Love the Glue, because they all die.
So then she starts having a baby horse, and it's gross.
You thought human pregnancy was gross. Just hold on. Hold your horses.
Oh, yeah. Nothing on horse birth.
What a nightmare.
Because the Billy was like... If something goes wrong, we might have to cut up the baby to pull the pieces out so she doesn't die. And he's like, okay, buddy.
Horse confetti.
But instead, so that then there is a problem. Like the horses, the baby horse is not in the right orientation or whatever. You know, the same thing that happens to people. I didn't know it also happened to horses. But so suddenly Billy is like, oh my God, we've got to cut that horse out. So he kills the mother, and then takes his knife and literally does a like instant C-section, but just with a Bowie knife.
But the C is for Colt in this case.
And then, oh, look at that. Here's your horse. But the horse isn't in the next chapter, so I think that horse dies too.
I mean, it's a baby.
Yeah, the baby horse, I mean.
He does say at one point, like, you want people to ride that horse for like 2 or 3 years. It takes a while before it's useful.
And he's going to have to find some horse milk.
But he fucking beats the horse to death with a hammer. The mother.
You think that would be harder to do?
It mentions like a sickening bone crunch sound as he hits it in the head with the horseshoe hammer. And then he looks at the king. He's like, "Are you happy? You have a horse now." He's like covered in horse gore. He's like, "Yeah, go ride him. Ride him, cowboy." Like, Billy Buck has gone insane in this scene because he was so strained from becoming a horse midwife. And then it never comes up again. It was disturbing.
It was. It was very, like, if this was a horror movie, this would be quite a scene. You could almost see a horror movie with, like, a space alien. And it's like, oh, my God, it's pregnant. And it's like, literally beat the mother to death with a hammer and then cut out the thing. Anyway, it would be very gross. And then the next, and then there's one more chapter in which
Grandpa tells nothing, a story.
Nothing about the previous stuff applies at all.
It doesn't apply, but
each chapter is kind of like that.
Jody continues his descent into serial killerness because he's most excited about the mouse holocaust he's about to start.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, it's springtime, and now I'm going to kill all those mice. And everyone's like, do you really? Why? And he's like, because they must. And he's like, I'm going to kill all of them. I'm going to kill every one of those mice. And they're like, you know what? That boy, he needs hobbies. But he's really excited. He like gets a good stick, a good mouse-killing stick.
Yeah, he's like, wait for breakfast. I got to go find a good mouse-whacking stick. Yeah, harder just to kill a mouse with a whacking stick. They're fast.
You know, I know somebody who used to kill mice with hockey sticks. And this isn't one of those, like, my friend has an issue things. Like, it was someone else besides me, because I didn't play sports. I didn't have a hockey stick. But him and his stepdad, whenever they had a mouse in their house, they would, like, clear a path, and they'd play hockey with the mouse till it was dead. That guy's a doctor now.
Well, that's how you learn. Practice on cadavers.
Yeah, he's the Galen of our time. He learned from animal hides. But he's going to kill the mouse, and then dad comes in with one piece of mail, and this is how boring life was. The kid's like, holy shit, dad's got mail. We have a letter. What's it say, Pa? You may already be a winner.
Another credit card offer. Fucking goddamn it.
500 hours of AOL. But he hands it to the wife. He's like, it's from your father. Fucking asshole. And the wife is like, all right, what does it say? Let's read it. It says he's going to come over today. Ah, shit. The mail, it was delayed by one day. This guy gave us absolutely no warning, but he's coming over now. And the dad's like, oh, just he's going to do it, isn't he? He's going to tell his same old man stories again. And I hate them. And the wife's like, yeah, that's what he does. He's an old man.
Have you met an old man?
This is an old man who didn't even have like electricity. He must have the worst stories. And the dad's like, I hate them. I hate them so much. I'd rather sit and be silent and just cause emotional trauma to my son than listen to this old man's story again. And the kid goes to get Grandpa. And he's like, Grandpa, hey. And he's an old fucking man. He's like, you want to come kill a bunch of mice with me? And he's like, I don't. Why? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, I have stories to tell, kid. So he sits down at the dinner table. Or they have dinner. And he sits down at the dinner table. And he goes, well. And then he talks about his most important thing he ever did, which was lead the caravan across the Rockies. Or, you know, the blinking on the word right now.
Whatever it was him and the Donner people. They're like, we must get across. No?
You know, leading the wagon train like across the West to California and, you know, being attacked by Indians on the way as he did the word. That's his word.
It's also sometimes their word. It's a complicated one.
And the dad is like, fucking this story again.
I mean, and the wife is like, dude, that was like the biggest deal in his life. It's kind of a big deal. Just shut the fuck up. Let him tell his story. He's going to die soon of old age at 53.
That's his. I won the high school big rivalry match with a winning touchdown at the last second. Oh, okay.
/ I went to Woodstock. And he's saying, you know, I had these other ideas. They didn't want to listen to me. And his idea was fucking dumb. It was like, what if we made a force field of metal?
I guess it wasn't that dumb, but it was, they're like, no, we can make spare people. Metal's expensive.
We're importing Italians left and right from these days. We don't need to be careful. Paisanos, they call them. But he tells a story about traveling out west that like everybody knows word for word already. And the dad, Carl, is like rolling his eyes like, God damn this guy. I just want to see if he can complain about gophers, not hear this bullshit again. Well, who cares? That was the past. We don't live in the past anymore, which I feel like is some sort of thing we're supposed to pick up on.
Or the dawning age of modernity.
Yeah, that we're supposed to just turn our back on, you know, the simpler times.
Except for all the stuff I like about it. That stuff has to stay.
Well, yeah, of course. like the part where we you know, got rid of all those villages of native people. That part was great. And so this goes on, and then at a certain point, oh, the next morning it's breakfast. And I really thought it was going to be that the grandfather died, because he's like not there at breakfast.
No, he just dies inside.
And they're like, where the fuck is he? Where's this old man? It's the crack of dawn. We need to eat a biscuit and an egg and then go work for 16 hours. And the mom's like, you know, he takes a long time. He has to comb his whiskers. And then dad's like, I can't hear that fucking story one more time. Like, oh, in the Oregon Trail. Fucking boo-hoo. And then we buried
him. I'm dying of dysentery.
Buried him in a shallow grave. Oh, Chief Crybaby. We chased him off his land. We rode up our horses. And then the grandfather walks in. He's like, oh, you heard all that, didn't you? He's like, yep. Pass the eggs, please. It's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
And then after Jody and Grandfather sit around, and Grandpa's like, yeah, I guess I do tell that story kind of a lot. And then he says, but, you know, I just really want to make people... What I mean is, I just want people to feel something when I tell it. And what I mean is... I forget exactly what he said, but it's kind of like... I mean, the way I picture it is, people want other people to recognize that they're important, but the problem is they're not important anymore because they're old and don't do anything. So, but the old people are like, God damn it. No, I am still important.
He says, I tell these old stories, but they're not what I want to tell. I only know how I want people to feel when I tell them. Right? I think that's the line you're talking about.
Yep. And then
it goes on. It wasn't Indians that were important, nor adventures, nor even getting out here. It was a whole bunch of people made into one big crawling beast, and I was the head. It was like the highlight. It was the most important thing he did in his life. And he's just trying to communicate that.
And again.
He's just trying to hold on to what he can. Feel really bad for the guy, actually. No? I mean, Nate does this all the time. Like, he's always telling us about when he was on the beaches of Normandy. And we're like, I know, Nate. That was great. You saved us from the fascists.
So, and then... basically, that's the end of the chapter.
Of the book?
Of the book, yeah.
Well, there's a nice like moment where the boy has shown, he shows like maturity, because he goes to the grandpa and he's like, well, I still want to hear your stories, you know, even though I already know them. And hey, do you want to go kill some mice? And then grandpa's like, dude, what the fuck, man? No. I just want to sit here and think about when my life was important. Now I'm just marking time till I die. And he's like, all right. You want some lemonade? And the grandpa's like, that would be nice. And he's like, did you say mice? He's like, no, nice. He literally just says, that would be nice. And then he goes into the house. He's like, Mom, can I have a lemon? Because those are a treasure to make grandfather a lemonade. And she's like, oh, and I bet you want one for you too, don't you? And he's like, no, I just wanted to make one for grandpa. Why could I be such a fucking cunt, Mom? And she's like, oh, that's my son. He's growing up, and that's how it ends. And he's like shown he has developed some shred of empathy. He might not become a murdering sociopath yet. A little heartwarming thing. Yeah, then the next chapter, he kills 37 hitchhikers and disembowels them.
And they were delicious.
And don't get him started on the number of missing sex workers up and down the coast of California. So then it does end, though. But he was like, oh, I'll be nice to Grandpa. He's like a horse. He's going to die soon. What do you think, Nate?
Oh, this American classic.
Communist horse.
It was really... Okay. I feel like it just wasn't a complete book. It didn't go... It was just a series of vignettes.
Yeah.
And then it ends. It's not really a novel. I mean, it was not advertised as a novel either. I feel like either Steinbeck had plans to do more with it or for it to go to a story, and this is me just guessing, or he was like, you know what? I'm tired of that. Just publish it.
Well, they were published independently, right? Like each one at a time?
They had been published in various magazines, journal or whatever the fuck's. Independently, and then they were collected. But they had all been published in the 30s.
So it's like a collection of sorts.
Yeah, but I don't know how much he changed them. I don't know if this is like one of those Ray Bradbury things where they just like collected a bunch of stories and he like mushed them into one new book. So it's I don't know the story of what he intended.
I thought the horse death was quite graphic, and so that was like pretty crazy.
So, but did you like it?
It was okay. That's the best. That's all I'll say. It was okay. I certainly didn't hate it, but...
Have we done Steinbeck on this before?
Grapes of Wrath, Mice and Men.
Oh, Mice and Men, right.
We've done a bunch. Those two. Pros, huh? What do you think, Jimmy?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It was not at all what I remember. I feel like I read this when I was like 12 or some shit, 13. Or at least the Red Pony part, because I remember that part. Maybe I just thought that was the whole book. So when it happened at the end of chapter one, I was like, what is the rest of this book? In a weird way, I kind of enjoy the idea of a series of stories where we just beat the stark, horrific reality of life into the mind of a 10-year-old over and over again for several stories. Like, hey, you're 10. Time to know that life is full of suffering and death, and one day you will inevitably disappoint your father, and then you will die. It's a wild pitch, I think that this book would hit differently. I mean, I don't know. Steinbeck is not really like a man's man. Like, yeah, you got to be tough out there to survive. Like, that's not his kind of shtick. He was more
the
of
setting
a,
of this.
Yeah,
the man's man stuff was. It's kind of similar to Cormac McCarthy. Even though it's
McCarthy
California
vibes.
And not Texas, it had the like really tough. You got to be a real, real tough hombre to make it in this world kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I didn't know if that's what Steinbeck was going for. Like, I don't really know enough about the dude just to know what the point was. Like, I don't think that would be his point, because that's not the point of all his other stuff. He's not like a man's man. It's more like the world is horrible and we'll just do our best, I guess. So I found that part kind of confusing a little.
Also thinking the other two books of his we read were like pure depression era books, right? Of Mice and Men and Grapes of Wrath. And it's not clear to me when this takes place, but it certainly could be the Depression. Like, they don't have a lot of money. They're like, we can't afford to take on anybody else. We can't afford this Mexican guy to die here.
Yeah.
I gotta save my $5 to watch horses fuck. I think that was his bigger thing, right? Like, showing the plight of the working people or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in the end, the boy understanding empathy is kind of his vibe. It's like all we can do is help each other, even though the world is a horrific nightmare. Sorry, kid. Good luck.
But maybe it's just like some scenes from childhood. That's all it is. Just a couple of scenes, and it's not a full-fledged coming-of-age tale, but just, some pivotal moments in the life of a middle schooler, And it has enough in there that a person reading this in the 30s who would have been an adult would recognize, oh yeah, that's what my dad or grandpa or I am like, And so many more people back then had more of a connection to the land, to agriculture, to farm life, because the father is so just you have to be responsible. Don't fuck this up. If you fuck up that horse, then, you know, I will think of you as a pussy for the rest of your life.
But it's also, you know, not just that he'd be weak, it's just that this is what it takes to survive. If you're not good at this stuff, you will die. Because that's the way they've always lived.
I think people are still quite living like that in the 30s.
Yeah.
I liked it. I don't like short stories, as we've said many times before. I find them kind of like, eh, it's just like a picture of something. I liked them, though. I felt like enough happened. You know, you know, the kid went through some shit. And by the end of it, the kid is a better person. He's changed. He's matured. And there's stuff that you can kind of relate to, even now, almost a century later. You know, losing something, just like understanding that like life is not permanent. Seeing old people and they're like out of touch with the time now and they're kind of lost.
Understanding that old people are not perfect either.
Yeah, that they're just people too, right? And they're just trying to figure it out. And
because he like thinks Billy is like a god among men, but then he, you know, stabs one horse to death in the neck and has to beat another one to death to save the baby. He's like, that guy killed two horses.
And but he saved one. Two horses, yeah. One colt.
Oh, no.
I don't know what his message is, but I really liked it. And it was short. And I feel like, I read half the introduction. And then I stopped because I was like, oh, this introduction is going to tell me what the book is about, and I don't want to ruin it. But it said this is a book that's often given to young people, but it shouldn't be. And I was like, actually, I think it should be given to young people.
It depends on how young.
And I don't mean like 10-year-olds, but like high school students. I think they can get something out of this.
Yeah, I could say high school. Yeah.
The reality is 10-year-olds probably can't read anything beyond fucking Roald Dahl these days. So,
if that.
Yeah. Well, as Roald Dahl will say, that's the Jews' fault. But that's...
It's short enough for high school to actually read the whole thing.
Right. Like you could spend you could read it out loud in class over a few days, probably. You know, you read the story. You don't even have to read it at home.
Because they can't read it.
People don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend who's who was a high school English teacher, and he left that school because they had stopped assigning any novels. You know, like, kids don't read books anymore. We're not going to have books anymore in our high school. And he was like,
what a novel concept.
He's like, that's insane. So he left that school. He doesn't work at that school anymore.
That sounds pretty terrible, yeah.
He wasn't willing to just show the movie?
But like, how do you just show the movie of a short story?
The episode of the TV show.
Or of an infographic. It's the novelization of an infographic from The Atlantic.
Here's an episode of Entourage.
The novelization of Entourage must be terrible.
It's like a serialization, maybe.
Really cool music plays over the radio. It's a Jay-Z song. They do cocaine. Unnecessary tits are shown. Yeah, I liked it. I remember seeing this book in maybe a classroom library or something growing up. And I was like, ooh, a short little book. And then I saw, that was my speed. Short book. I'm for that. And it's like, The Red Pony, that's for children. I kind of wish I read it. I might have liked it as a high schooler.
You never know.
Glad I read it now, though.
I wonder how it'll compare to our upcoming punishment book, Chicken Soup for the Horse Lover's Soul.
We should do that soon, just so we know.
Just so we can get a feel for it.
Well, we're primed, you know. We've warmed up. Like a real,
so before we were just horsing around.
Oh, it's the Kentucky Brown Derby of horse books.
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
And give us a New Hampshire s'more over at Drunk Guys Book Club at whatever the fuck it's called. Social media things.
Yeah, look us up.
You can find it. He gives a shit. Now he can't cut it.
And check out the I Can Still Try. And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.